But what's honor? And how does a sense of it come to be written on the heart? And even more importantly, how is honor turned into action in the home in everyday life? Let's try to pursue these thoughts for a few moments. Let's start with what honor is. To honor, the word that's used in the Bible at least, is to recognize the value of someone and to assign that value to that person's place in our lives and to act accordingly. The words the Bible uses are two main ones, Old Testament and New Testament, are more in the nature of illustrations than they are just words. One means to be heavy or to be wealthy. And the other one means to estimate or to fix the value of. And both of them become social terms describing how persons evaluate and attach standing to or worth to each other. One lady told about hearing her niece, her 15-year-old niece, having a little bit of a tiff over the phone with a friend. And the 15-year-old, the niece says to the friend, "You think I can't live without you? Who do you think you are, my phone charger?" That's not exactly the attachment of value that we're talking about. To honor is to esteem or to consider of good reputation or to hold in high regard. One of the dictionaries, a Bible dictionary, says this word means to give weight to a person or to grant a person a position of respect or even of authority in your life, either on the basis of that person's position, his job, or on the basis of that person's character. You evaluate and you assign honor to. Honor is an internal attitude of respect or courtesy or even reverence. But biblically speaking, it's also accompanied by appropriate attention and action, or else it's incomplete. You remember both Jesus and Isaiah saying, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." The honor had no substance to it. It was incomplete. In biblical thought, if the honor is not paid in thought and word and deed and even in substance, it's only lip service. And it's not what we're called to express in our lives as godly people. So there's another aspect to this matter then. No one can give what he doesn't have. If honoring is a crucial task in our lives, and especially at home, it is imperative that we concern ourselves with being honorable. And that brings every human action and every human interaction with other people or with holy things into view. To honor is to esteem, to consider of good reputation, to hold in high regard, to attach great value to. So we start with that. Now let's move to the second part of this study. What does this mean at home? To honor, in this sense, is the basic and lasting task in family life. In other words, to esteem, to attach value to respect, to hold in high regard those who we interact with in our families. The Bible gets pretty specific about this being our task in family life. We are to honor our fathers and our mothers. either on the basis of their position or on the basis of their character, and ideally on the basis of both those things. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16 is the place in the restatement of the Ten Commandments where we move past the things that have to do with God and we get ready to deal with the things that have to do with the other people. And the turning point is, you shall honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long in the land which I'm giving you. This is God's commandment, that I attach honor to the job of my father and my mother. In Ephesians 6, in verses 1 and 2, the New Testament uses this statement from Isaiah. Paul says, children, he's writing to children who have a godly interest, honor or obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the parents' job to be in the Lord. Children's job to obey them. And if the parents don't accommodate this by what they being what they ought to be, the parent doesn't give the child a reason to obey him or to honor him. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Someone says, yeah, but the father should, the mother should do this. Yeah, but that's their job. Remember self last week? This is the starting place for honor in my life. I obey my mother while I'm living with her, and then I honor her the rest of my life. And if that means physically trying to help provide, if it means monetarily trying to help provide, that's part of it. If it means developing the character that I ought to have so that my mother is not embarrassed that I'm wearing her name around, that's part of it. She wouldn't be, but if I think about honoring her, that's part of it. Secondly, we're to honor, we're to know how to control our own bodies in holiness and honor. Think about what I'm saying here. We are to attach value to ourselves and to have a respect for ourselves, which leads us to know how to control our own bodies in honor, in such a way that we are not using other people, and in such a way that we are not dishonoring ourselves. In the Old Testament, an individual who did not know how honor is obtained, and who did not intend to act honorably, and had no thought for the value of honor, was called a scoffer. In the New Testament, in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 4, this involves being holy as a part of God's will, in that He wants us to avoid sexual immorality by knowing how to control our own bodies in holiness and honor. The place probably where the Christian view of reality is most different from the culture in which we live is in the question of sexual morality. The thought of the world is that as long as you are doing what you want to do, if the other person is okay with it, fine. The Bible sets a much higher standard than that. There is who you are to consider. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, when it's calling for us to honor God with our bodies, it also is in a setting which is discussing the question of sexual morality, our passions, our desires. And Paul reminds the Corinthian Christians, you've been bought with a price. You're not your own. Glorify God in your body. The word is the same word for honor. Honor God in your body. Third, the New Testament calls on us, the whole Bible calls on us, to let marriage be held in honor among all. To let marriage, as being God's will and of God's design and as involving a promise to another person, to be held in honor. Let it be held in honor by avoiding sexual immorality before, avoiding ties like marriage to another person before marriage, and then by respecting that relationship within it. In the Ten Commandments, the seventh one, verse 18 of Deuteronomy 5, told us to not commit adultery, told Israel not to do that. Don't sin against your marriage vows or anybody else's. For the last of the Ten Commandments in verse 21 of Deuteronomy 5 said, don't covet. Don't covet your neighbor's wife or husband. Somebody else is involved in this. Some other family is involved in this. Respect that and consider it to be holy. Now, I'm asking you to think about where this kind of respect is going to come from in the lives of your children and your grandchildren. You're going to want them to grow up and to respect themselves, respect marriage and other people's families. Why? What's going to lead them to do that? You can't just suggest or think to yourself, well, the culture will surely reinforce it. They'll just know. No. It's something that's going to take more than that. And then the fourth thing that the New Testament says is we're to honor the one to whom we're married. Now remember, we're talking about what you can do. You can't make the other person honorable. And where addiction or abuse or affairs are present, that's a time to protect yourself. The New Testament tells us that a remarriage might happen on the basis or because of sexual immorality. Honor means don't put your mate in that situation, and it means don't let yourself be used in a way which is dangerous to one you already respect, which is hopefully yourself. This is a huge part of the task of marriage. I read one old boy's definition. He said marriage is 90% yelling, what, from one of the other rooms. I hope it's more than that in our lives. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 calls on a husband to live with his wife in an understanding way and to honor her, to esteem her. And by the way, this helps you to understand the weaker vessel idea that's used over there. It's talking about physical strength and one who has needs. Esteem her. Hold her in high regard. Respect her. In Ephesians 5 at verse 33, at the end of Paul's discussion about this matter, he says, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Honor. Can you see how you put those four things together? This is the the one family task that lasts a whole lifetime, young or old or anywhere in between, this is the basic work of family. Attach value to, make the other persons know that they're valued. Whatever that takes is what we're being called on here. Now, how do we get to the place where we're people to whom that matters? I want to suggest now the beauty of this, where faith in Christ is involved. Remember, that's what I told you we're setting out to do. I want to describe for you the benefits to your home of faith in Christ. It turns out that to honor is what God, by every other means, by everything He asks us to do, is preparing us for. The beauty of it is that what God asks us to do toward Him and toward His people gets us ready to do the main work that our families need us to do, to honor. This is one reason why God asks us to return to Him what He's given us, and that is honor. Remember Hebrews 2 verse 7, quotes from the 8th Psalm. And it says of man, you've made him a little lower than the angels. And you've crowned him with glory and honor. And you've set him over the work of your hands. That is great honor that human beings have because God gave it to them. What would you think would be the one thing God wants back from human beings? Honor. John 5 and verse 23 has Jesus mentioning, it's assumed that we will honor God as our Father. Romans 1 and verse 21 shows the terrible negative momentum that starts when we decide to worship the creature instead of the Creator, and when knowing God, we don't honor Him as God. The unraveling of social order, the unraveling of self-understanding, the unraveling of the home happens in the rest of that terrible chapter. What God is asking us for is what we already need to have to function in families. It's a reason why God asks us to honor responsible authorities, and in fact, all people. Romans 13 and verse 7 has the honor to whom honor is due statement. It's talking about governing authorities. You sow this attitude in what you say toward your boss or the principal at school or the assistant principal at school. Whoever else has responsibility. 1 Peter 3 and or 2 and verse 17, it starts with telling us to honor all people and ends by telling us to honor, in the SV it's translated, the emperor. It wasn't because the emperor had the character that made him honorable. It's because he had a job that was to be respected and honored. Attitudes that our kids and grandkids see us showing toward things like that matter. It's why God asks us to honor our brothers and sisters in His family. In Philippians 2:29, people like Epaphroditus, who gave themselves in service, who risked their lives to show respect. In Romans 12 and verse 10, where we try to outdo each other in showing honor, where we prefer one another in honor. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 16, where we're involved in fellowship such that when one is honored, the others rejoice. That kind of environment is so helpful to our families. And it's a reason why God asks us to occupy our minds with honorable things. You don't want to become a person who backs up his emotional truck and dumps garbage on the doorsteps of those you love and then drive away with just as much garbage as you had when you got there. Give thought to what's honorable in the sight of all people, Romans 12 and 17. Think on things that are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable and excellent. Don't turn your computer on and look at something that isn't all of that. Don't let the news of stuff that isn't all of that be the formative thing in your outlook on life. Don't let it set the tone in your home. Honor. So here's a help for homes. Maintain a sense of honor, yes, inside yourself, but more, make it a verb. Make it an action word. Bestow honor on your family members and let it be the guiding principle in your house. Make it a practice in every little way and every big way that you can think of in your home. Let it be the air that all of you breathe. Express respect and admiration for your family members at every appropriate opportunity, both to them and about them to other people. Let them know you're proud of them. Embody honor in your family practices. Let your children and grandchildren be in the presence of assumptions like this. We keep our promises. We play and do our business fairly. We don't let people down who are counting on us, either in a ball team or a workplace. We respect other people's responsibility and work and property. We mind our manners to be considerate. We speak honorably and do not destroy someone's name or years of work by what is said when they're not present. And then, friends, engage in honoring someone greater than any of us, the Lord Himself. Engage in relationship with the Lord and with His people and in His service through His grace. Let it be about Christ and for Him and by Him, because none of us are going to have much to give otherwise. Where is a sinner going to get honor? John 12 and verse 26, Jesus talks about how God will honor those who serve Him. In Philippians 1 and verse 20, Paul gets to the uncertain circumstance of his life, maybe even anticipating death. And he said, but as always, Christ will be honored in my body. Our task is to start getting to that place before that time comes. Is Christ being honored in our bodies now? That's what we hope will happen. That's what we hope is happening. We need to be in Him. We need to make the good confession, turn away from dishonorable things to the rule of God and be baptized in the name of His Son and then to walk in the light. If you haven't made that beginning, do so. If you made the beginning and then you stumble, remember we can pray about it with God's promise that He'll hear us and forgive. If we can help you, let us know by coming here while we stand and sing.